Then Jesus came to them and said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything that, everything I have command you. And surely I am with you always and the very end of age, of the age." Okay. Today we're very happy to have Pastor Richard to come and speak to us. So I'll let Pastor Richard introduce himself. Okay, let's give him a hand.
Is that on? Can everybody hear? Well, good morning. I am so glad to be here. Selena, I saw your new baby on Facebook. Wow, I've seen some of you before. I've met you before. I know some of your names. I know a lot of faces. Please forgive me if I come up to you later on and can't call up the name. I'm getting old. My wife and I just had our second grandchild, and we're very excited about that. This is my wife, everyone, Jessie Roberts. My wife is originally from Taiwan, but she moved to New York about 31 or 2 years ago, and wasn't long after that that she made a little trip down to Georgia, and she met this country redneck fellow down there. His name was Richard, and to make a long story short, we liked each other, and we did some dating, and we got married, and we had a family, and we moved back to New York for a little while, lived in Flushing, Queens for 3.5 years. Then we moved back to Georgia, did the family thing. I had a job. She had a job. She had the minivan. I had the truck. And we had the two dogs out in the back, and we had two daughters and a son on the way. And we had a really good church that we started going to. And the name of that church was called Cornerstone Church. And so every Sunday we went to church, and Monday through Friday we went to work, and on Saturday we just tried to rest and do like the worship leader said he did with his kids. And so that's who we are. Our church, Cornerstone, was really big into mission trips in the summertime. They loved to send our congregation off to foreign lands for 2 weeks at a time in the summer. And I remember one time someone snuck up behind me while I was sitting at the back row of the church and said, "Hey, do you want to go on a mission trip?" And I said, "Yes, where are we going?" And I kind of looked at it as kind of like a vacation. And then they said, "Well, we're going to Jamaica, man." And I was like, "Yes, beaches." You know, the word mission just completely skipped over. You know, I didn't even hear that part. I thought to myself, "Yes, me and my wife and kids, we're going to Jamaica." I didn't even count the money. I didn't figure out would I have time off or would she, how we'd pay for it, nothing. I was just like, "Yeah, this is my secular meaning of going on mission for God. I'm just going to go and we're going to have fun." And that was the very beginning of God tricking me into missions. God is a very funny God. Sometimes he's got a very unique way into calling us. He didn't trick me, of course. That's a bad word to use for God. God calls us. And because God has a purpose, God has a vision, and God has a dream. Sometimes, I can remember in my past that I would sometimes kind of fall into that American dream thing. And I would start going after all that kind of stuff that the American dream offers. And it's not bad. You know, it's not a sin to go in that direction. But I had completely and totally overlooked the idea that God has a dream also. And most of the time, his dream does not align with mine, at least back when I was that age. And so anyway, I'm going to tell a little bit of detail about those mission trips that we took in the summertime. But right now, I just want to let you know that that's how I got started to where now my wife and I and my three kids, we were called to be full-time missionaries back in Taiwan 15 years ago, and we've been living there now for 15 years. We're a church planting organization. We've started a nonprofit organization called NETCA, Northeast Taiwan Christian Association, and we're situated right between Keelung and Elon. If any of you are familiar with the area, it's called Gongliao. That's the district that we're in, Dong Liao, Tochung, and Pingxi, Pingling, and Shuangxi, and Raibing, Raifang, if any of you are familiar with those areas. And so we are there, and we believe that God has called us there probably for the rest of our lives to just plant churches and love on the people. And that's just kind of an introduction of who we are and how we got to where we are right now. And having said all that, I'd like to kind of just go ahead and jump right into the message. Does anybody have any questions about who we are or anything? No? All right. So, got some notes here. Please forgive me. I didn't create slides. I was contacted and asked if I had them, that they would be glad to show them, but I just made some notes, and we're just going to go through the notes, and I believe that that it'll be very self-explanatory as we go through it. So let's start with a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, today the things that we want to talk to you about are just words. They're just audible sounds, Lord, echoing in this room. And God, every one of us in here, including myself, Lord, we're going to hear these sounds, and they're just going to bounce off of our eardrums, and it won't be nothing, Lord, unless there's an anointing that goes with it. Unless there's the Holy Spirit that is connected to those words, Lord. And so, God, we pray that the words that we speak, that the words that we share, and the words that we hear in our ears, Lord. God, we pray, Lord, that there will be a special anointing. We pray, Lord, that you will speak to each and every one of us, including myself, Lord, through these words. We pray, Lord, that it'll be a message to us. We pray that it'll be a testimony unto us. We pray, Lord, that you will just have mercy and grace on us and show us what your dream is, not just for my life, but for everyone's life in this room. God, we know that you didn't just plan us haphazardly. We know that you have a plan for us, as Jeremiah 29:11 says, and it's a successful plan. You've already had thoughts about what we could do, how we could partner with you. And so, Lord, I pray that if there's someone in this room who has not discovered that yet, Lord, I pray, Lord, that this little nugget, this little thing, Lord, that you've got just waiting for them to be revealed at just the right time. I pray that there will be some of those revelations today during this message. I pray, Lord, that someone will say, yeah, that might be me too. Yeah, Lord, I want to partner with you. So, Lord God, we just pray that your sweet, holy anointing will just fall on each and every one of us right now, and that you will anoint these words in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, I'm going to try to do two things simultaneously. It has worked for me before, and it has not worked before. And so if it gets to where it's not working, don't worry about it. Just hang in there. The Lord will get it together in just a minute. I'm going to try to tell my testimony while at the same time preach a message on the Bible verses that we just read in Matthew 28:8-10, go into all the world and preach the gospel. And the way I'm going to do that is I'm going to try to talk about it from my own life experiences, but at the same time using God's Word. Our life experiences are good. However, if we don't have God's Word in there, and if it doesn't align with God's Word, it really becomes meaningless at times. So let me get started here with the word testimony. That's one of the titles, testimony. The other title is Matthew 28:8-10. So testimony. Let me give you a definition of testimony. I've got three right here. The first one is a formal written or spoken statement, especially given in a court of law. Now, this is just a secular definition of the word testimony. A formal written or spoken statement, especially given in a court of law. It's very important if you have to go to court and if you have to testify that you tell the truth. It's very important that you are a reliable witness that can tell the truth, because what you say determines the outcome of someone else's life. If you say that a person did something wrong but they didn't do that, then you could be held liable for that. And so it's very, very important that when you give testimony that you have seen something, that you have been a witness to something. And you know, sometimes, and you can read this in the Bible, you'll see where people will say, oh, he said that he was going to do this, and he was going to tear down this temple, and he was going to do all this, and Jesus is a bad guy. But really, they've never seen anything. They don't know anything about Jesus, and they're really not credible witnesses. They have no testimony. And in the Christian world, in the church world, in this room right here, one of the most powerful things is to have a good, credible testimony of what we have seen in Jesus. If we don't have a good, credible testimony about Jesus, then we may not even have a relationship with Jesus. And so it's very important that if you're just now beginning to come to church in your life, if this is your first Sunday here, or if this is like in your first month that you've been coming to church, one of the things that God is going to be trying to woo you into is a testimony about Him. Do you have a testimony with Him? Has He done something that makes you stop and pause and say, wow, Jesus is real. This is not just something my parents are trying to force me to do. So that I'll have good behavior. This God is real. Let me tell you what I saw. Let me tell you what happened in my life. Man, when you've got one of those, you've got power. You are able to say to your fellow students at your school, Jesus loves you. And they'll take it serious. But if you're not a credible witness, if you don't have any relationship with Jesus at all, and you try to do something like that, and you try to evangelize something, they're going to say something. They're going to think something like, "Don't say anything." Tahoe buha isa. Just to calm down, you know. Yeah. Lehi. Yeah. But really, they don't mean it at all. They're just showing face. They're just trying not to embarrass you. And this is not just for the teenagers here. It's even for adults. When we go into our workplace and we go into our office and our colleagues are sitting around us and we want to tell them about Jesus, but we've never really met Jesus ourselves and we really don't have a relationship with Jesus, trying to give a testimony to someone else is a little bit fruitless. You can try, you can tell them about Jesus, but they just don't take it very seriously. They'll just, you invite them to church. And you know, in Taiwan, there's a lot of ways to say no. You know, there's the boo, you know. But the best way, the most unique way, the most loving way to say no, does anybody know? Does anybody know how to say it? If you say, hey, you want to come to church with me on Sunday? What's the reply, the loving reply, when they want to say no? Almost, not that. There's one that's even more loving. Kind. Have you ever heard that before? That's what they say in Taiwan when they mean no, we're not going to come. No, your testimony is not credible. No, I don't see anything really happening in your life. And so really, what you've just told me, you know, I'm just not 100% sure that I want to believe that thing. So these are sweet words, but kind. That's what we hear all the time. So anyway, your testimony has power if you have a testimony. I mean, it's like having a drill in your hand that's not plugged up. It has no power. You can't do anything with it. You can't put screws in. You can't hurt anybody. You can't make a loud noise or anything. But if it has power, then you can influence something else. You can put a screw into something. You can make some noise. You can do some damage if you need to. And so it's very important for your testimony to have power. Oftentimes in our church in Fulong, we will have testimony day. And in the early years, we didn't try to clarify anything. We didn't try to tell everybody, hey, you need to get set up. You need to write anything. We just let them get up there and tell their testimony. And we'd hear testimonies like this. I want to thank God. New Pungyo, Ta Ben Lai, Ta Bushi Wan Wo, Kasu, Sha Li Bai, Wan Zai Xue Sha, Ta Gon Wan So, Ta Xi Wan Wo, Gan Xie Zhuan. So, you know, this is the kind of testimonies that we would hear. And while that is so loving, and while that is so kind, and, you know, as teenagers, we want to hear those kind of things. You know, the next thing we want to say, Ta Jia Zhu Ma Ming Zhe. So we want to hear that, but The truth is, that's not a testimony. There's no power in that. That's not a testimony. It's not about the person who's on trial. It's not about Jesus. It's not about the one who died for us, the one who came to save our soul, the one who has a vision, who has a dream that may be different from the one that you have, who's trying to get you to stop and pause and realign yourself and renew your mind and think about following Him and partnering with Him and having a whole different outcome on your life than what you thought it was going to be. I had a dream. I was a carpenter before I became a missionary. I made cabinets. I thought I was going to grow old and I was going to be that really good guy that really knew how to make everything out of wood. And everybody was going to come to my wood shop, my cabinet shop, and want things made. And I was just going to live happily ever after. And I was just going to become a famous cabinet maker in my little town. That's what I thought. But then Jesus stepped into my life. He said some words to me. He gave me a testimony. And when He gave me that testimony all at once, my words, when I spoke to others about Jesus, had power. Power, power, power. Now the power was not mine. I was just a conduit. The power was His. And the power came through. And the people could hear. They could look at me and they could see a country redneck person, but they could hear that something really had happened in my life and had changed me and had made me want to renew my mind and realign myself with God and His dream, and to forget about some of the useless things that I was working toward, some of the things that was not really going to lead me into success, some of the things that were deceiving me. And so God spoke to me, and when God spoke to me, I knew that it was Him. And I'm going to tell you about that as I tell you my testimony. So we have that definite. Just could you give me the water, please? Excuse me. I have a quote also, and this is from the Baptist Student Union of New Mexico State University. They are the ones, this is where I got this from. Everyone's testimony is powerful because it is the story about moving from death to life. Your testimony moves people from death to life. Did you know that the Bible says unbelievers are dead? Dead in their sins. The most adamant verse is John 5:24. It says, and this is Jesus talking, says, I tell you the truth, whoever hears my word and believes Him who sent me has eternal life and will not be condemned. He or she has crossed over from death to life. That's John 5:24. It couldn't be no more clear, it couldn't be no more plain that before we put our faith in Jesus, from a heaven's perspective, the angels, God, Jesus, all the cloud of saints, from heaven's perspective, the unbeliever is considered dead as far as the spirit goes. But when Jesus Christ reaches down with grace and mercy and touches you, touches your heart, all at once you just have that moment, that thong, or ting-da-thong, moment. You just understand. It's like when you hit that gong. Wow, boom, I got it. Yes, Jesus is real. And something happens in your life and there is a change. And this is the change. This is that Jeremiah 29:11 change. These successful plans that God has for you. That's the very first one. That you believe. You become a believer. And so I became a believer when I was 18. I got saved. I was on fire for God for a few years, and I kind of backslid a little bit. And then my wife came along, and we started back into church again. And we moved to New York. We became a part of a church up there. And then 3 years later, we moved back to Georgia, and we became a part of the Cornerstone Church. And we began to just serve in the church. Let me read something else here, another quote. Giving your testimony is a way to share the gospel with others by explaining your personal salvation. You see, we can't really know the Bible. Look how thick this thing is. You know, when God touches us, when God saves us, when we believe in our heart and we confess with our mouth, it doesn't automatically mean that all of this comes into our wisdom and into our knowledge and we can plainly state the gospel. You know, what we have, how can we share what we believe with others? How can you share at school with your friends if you've become a new believer and you don't quite know all the Bible yet? Is it still possible? Can you still share? Can you still partner with Christ? Yes, you can, and it's with your testimony. Your testimony holds power. Now, if you keep following Jesus and if you stay close to Jesus, you're going to read the Bible because He commands us to know His Word. He is the Word. You're going to get into those pages and you're just going to eat them up when the Holy Spirit comes down. But it's when you believe. It's when you believe that it gets started. And so, your personal salvation is of utmost importance. You can't figure out God. You can't go to enough seminaries. You can't get enough PhDs. And I'm not talking about in secular studies. I'm talking about even in seminary. You can't get enough to understand God through wisdom. His wisdom is far beyond us. Now, what you can do is you believe and you get saved, and then He gives you wisdom. You can ask for wisdom. Solomon prayed for wisdom. But wisdom is not that great, high and mighty. One of the things that Solomon done as a judge is he had these two women that come in front of him and said they both was claiming the same baby. And he said, okay, well, how can I decide this? How can I figure out whose baby this is? They didn't have DNA testing back then. He had to figure out whose baby that was. And so through wisdom, the wisdom that God was giving him, he said, bring me a sword. Let's cut this baby in half. And you give half to her and half to her. And that seems like such a foolish thing. But this is a biblical story to teach us about wisdom. And so naturally what happened was the real mother screamed out, no, no, go ahead and just give the baby to the other woman. Don't cut the baby in half. And that's a real sign. Solomon was able to read the heart of the real mom. And the other mom, the lady was saying, oh, it doesn't matter. If I can't have him, she can't have him either. Go ahead and cut the baby in half. So just like Jesus reads our hearts, Solomon, with the wisdom that comes from heaven, was able to read the hearts of the two ladies. And he was able to determine what was in the person's heart. And that the real child belonged to this mom. And so wisdom comes that way. And so once we believe, that's the starting point. The wisdom will come. The knowledge will come. We need to understand His Word. But until that begins to come, we have the power of our testimony to still share the gospel from day one. Do you have a testimony? Do you have a testimony? There may be someone here today who is here because parents want them to come. I first started going to church to see friends. I had some friends there that I wanted to see. And I went to church for that reason. But I still remember Brother Gene Yelverton 30-something years ago. He knew it. He could see right through me. He knew I was unsaved. He preached the gospel anyway, knowing that I was there for the wrong reason. And he told me about Jesus. And I was sitting out in the crowd, 18 years old, listening to the gospel. And while I'm trying to focus on my friend sitting next to me, and I'm, man, if we would have had cell phones back then, we would have been all about not listening to the pastor. But we didn't have the cell phone, so we could just twiddle our thumbs, you know. But we would still try to talk to each other and pass notes and stuff like that. But something about the word that was coming from the pastor, Brother Gene, that was just really just burning. It was like a strange, warm feeling in my heart. It was just really beginning to touch me. It's like God was coming down and God was saying, hey, I want to give you a testimony. I want to put power in your life. I want you to be a speaker for me. I want you to align yourself with me. I want you to be my partner. I want you to have a heavenward direction, a vertical direction instead of a horizontal direction. I want to give you wisdom, wisdom beyond your years. I want to give you knowledge. I want to take you places. I want to show you to people. I have a dream. I have a dream. This is Jesus. Jesus has a dream. Jesus has a vision. And it's going to win in the end. And it's about building His kingdom. He loves us. He wants us to have a life. He told us that He's building rooms for us in His mansions and stuff up there. That's all in the gospel. He's including us if we want to be included. And what we see now, what we feel, what we touch, these things that they're just temporary. We're only going to be here for a short time. But if you have believed, you have crossed over from death into life, and you will never die. The sting of death is sin, but Jesus died for your sin. And so now there's no more, there's no sting, there's no, I'm about to die. I'm so happy this morning when I woke up. They've already had Sunday morning church in Taiwan. They're 15 hours ahead of us. And this girl that we've been sharing the gospel with recently, she's 20 years old. Her name is Nina. And we've been asking her, you know, are you ready? Are you ready to just get baptized, give it all over to Jesus? And her parents run a store that sells things like ghost money and incense sticks and stuff like that. And she really, really, she's already a believer in her heart. She's already confessed it. But she's not ready to take that step of baptism. So we're not pushing her. We're just waiting on her. We've been waiting for about 6 months. And so we're always asking her. And she's a... Now I want to wait until my parents believe. I want to wait until they come. I want to bring them with me. And that's very, very, very normal. I mean, you know that we got to love our parents. We respect them. We honor them. However, when Jesus calls us, He's calling us into an intimate, private relationship with Him. Just us and Him. He loves our parents too, and He's going to do the same thing for our parents. And most of the time when our parents see us falling into that relationship and when they see the life change in us, that speaks more volumes to them than sitting back and waiting on your salvation until they come around. And so I got a message from the guy that's running our church right now. And he said, hey, guess what? Nina came to church today and she's ready. She wants to get baptized. I'm like, man, that's awesome. Praise the Lord. Nina's going to get baptized. Last week, we had two baptisms. And I think she saw the pictures on Facebook because she wasn't there last week. And it probably reminded her that Jesus is calling her. Jesus is calling her. He wants to put a testimony in her life. He wants to give her power. Power to speak to others. Power to speak to her parents. Power to share the gospel. That's our testimony. And the way that He does that is He appears to us, not physically, but in a spiritual sense. So let me read that Bible verse one more time. Then Jesus came to them and said, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. So this is just a regular Bible verse at the end of Matthew. Jesus has already died on the cross. He's been resurrected. He's been with them in the resurrected body for 40 days on earth. He's done all kinds of miracles. They're like really coming to the realization that, whoa, this is weird. Whoa, this is unique. How can somebody be dead for 3 days and come back? Man, he's eating fish on the beach. Man, he's like, we can touch the... Thomas got to touch the holes in his hand inside. And he's like, my Lord and my God, you are real. I know that you're real. I can't believe I know that you died on the cross and here you are standing before me. What a powerful testimony. When you have really seen something, When you really know something in your heart and you go to your friend or your colleague or your parents and you're able to share something that really happened, then you are a credible witness and you are providing a truthful testimony. And it has power and influence on the people that you're speaking to. And so it is very, very important for us to seek after that testimony. If we haven't had a testimony, we need to be on our knees praying for that testimony. Lord, here I am, send me. Lord, here I am, save me. Lord, if you are real, show yourself to me. Lord, I've been trying to find peace and tranquility using this method and this way and that way. And all these things have provided great insight to me over my life. But there is still something in me, Lord, that is missing. I still have no power in my speech. No one believes what I say. And I'm not making anything known to anybody. Nobody believes me, Lord. I have no power. I have no testimony. This needs to be the sound of our prayer. Not these exact words, but this kind of thinking. Lord, give me a testimony. And it doesn't matter how old you are. It doesn't matter your age. You can be 14 and receive the power of a testimony. You can go home today if you've never had a testimony. If you've never had a meeting with Jesus, if Jesus has never come into your life, you can go home and lock yourself into a room. You can go out into a field. You can walk down the sidewalk and you can pray and say, Lord, 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 reveal yourself to me. Lord, show yourself to me. If you are real, show yourself to me. Lord, I want to be a part of this. I want to have this power. I want to go. I want to do. I want to be on mission with you. Co-mission means to be on mission with someone else or with another entity. And that is Jesus Christ. It is His mission. And we are co-missioning with Him. And it's called the Great Commission because this commission or this mission is much greater than the dreams that we have. I'm not saying that your dreams are wrong or bad or anything. Some of the dreams that I had, I really thought was very worthy, like having a bigger house or having a better car or looking a certain way or dressing a certain way or having this or having that. At that time, those things were super important to me. However, over time, God has shown me that His mission has even greater importance. He's not taken away from the things that we think about, but He's saying that His mission has even greater importance. And it's not necessarily that He wants you to leave that and do that. Sometimes He wants you to do them together. My testimony. I've told you bits and pieces of my testimony, but I'm going to, in this last 10 minutes... I'm going to try to put it all together in a story that kind of makes sense. I first was taken to church when I was 8 years old by my grandmother. My parents had went through a divorce and my grandparents were feeling really sad for me and my brother. And they were upset that, you know, we never want to hear this. I want to hear this in the family, but sometimes it just happens. And it doesn't mean that God doesn't love these people. It just means that it just happened. God is a forgiving God. He's a merciful God. He's a second chance God. He loves us. And He wants to do great things for us. But the grandparents just felt like, man, this is really terrible. What can I do? My children are going through a big calamity, so let me keep the grandchildren. And while I'm keeping them, I'm going to take them to church. So he takes me to this church. I hear the gospel preached for the first time when I'm 8 years old. I have no understanding. I don't know what it means. I just go up front when he has an altar call, and then at the end, everybody comes, shakes my hand. Congratulations, congratulations. I've given my life to Jesus, I think. I reckon. I don't know. Who's Jesus? And so I'm standing there. 8 years old, everybody's hugging me. I just feel good about it, but I don't know what I'm doing. So I go home, and my mom, who was not a Christian at the time, she is now, she explains to me, because I tell her, I run in the house, hey, Mom, I got saved today, and I'm going to get baptized next month. And my mom is like, wow, does my son even know what he's talking about? And So she kind of sat down and talked to me, and she's like, son, I'm not really a Christian. I should be. I ought to go to church myself. But I just want to let you know what you're doing. You may not know what you're doing. Don't you want to wait a little while? And so in the exact same amount of time, I was like, okay. All right, well, I'm not getting saved. I'm not getting baptized next month. And okay. All right. Well, then I go play with my Tonka trucks. Well, time goes by, and I, when I'm 18, I start wanting to be with some friends, and these particular friends are church-going friends. Now, they weren't necessarily super apostles. They were my same age. We were all 16, 17, 18 years old, and I just wanted to see them. I just wanted to be with them. I thought it was cool to be with those friends at the church. It's possible that the only reason they were going to church because their folks made them go. I'm not sure. But, or maybe they were just doing what the family did. But I went to the church, small country church, and every day, every Sunday, I'm listening to the pastor, and the pastor's saying good things, and finally it just dawns on me one day, Jesus is real. Jesus is real. Okay. What's next? Jesus is real. Lord, what's next? And that starts my story. That starts the go and make disciples. People had to build into my life. People had to disciple me. Sometimes I fought it. Sometimes I said, no, I'm not going to church today. Sometimes I said, no, I'm not reading the Bible. Sometimes I said, no, I don't want to go to the prayer meeting. Sometimes I said, no, I don't want to play on the worship team. Sometimes I fought it. But at others, times I accepted it. So I would be discipled for a while, then I would take a season off. I was a slow disciplee. It took me a long time to really, really learn and think about and know who is Jesus, what is his purpose, and what is he trying to do in my life and everybody else's life. And I'm still learning. There are some people who are on fire for the Lord, and they get it and they just go with it, man, and you just see power in them. They have a testimony way greater than mine. Their testimony is like, yeah, man, I'm just with the Lord and me and him. And I didn't have any money to do that, you know, but my church was going on a mission team and it cost $1,500. And I didn't know how it was going to go. My family didn't have that kind of money, you know. But just, you know, somebody just came up to me and they just said, hey, I heard you was going on a mission trip. I want to pay for it. You tell that to your friend and see how much influence you are. They'll be like, whoa. God did that for you. See, you got a testimony now. You got power because you're willing to follow. All you have to do is follow. Come follow me and I'll make you fishers of men. And he will do the rest. He will give you the testimony. It will just happen naturally in your life. The meetings you have, the things you do, the things you think about, they will just come out to others as a living testimony about what Jesus Christ is doing in your life. And before you know it, you're not even a pastor. You've never been to seminary. You don't even know much. You haven't even read the whole Bible. You've only read half of one book out of the New Testament, but yet you're preaching the gospel to people on the street. Come on now. I'm getting excited. Y'all not excited? That doesn't excite you? Am I nerdy or what? That excites me. Can I get an amen? Amen. You are preaching the gospel through the power of your testimony. You are calling people. Jesus, you're the conduit that Jesus is using to call people unto him. People are coming to the Lord. Ipu, ipu. Step by step. Go to the church. Hearing the preacher, all at once believing, knowing Jesus, and next thing you know, they're going on a mission trip with you to some foreign country, down to Mexico, over to Taiwan, up to Canada, or wherever you would go. And next thing you know, they're giving their life to Jesus. Next thing you know, you get an Instagram. Hey, I'm getting baptized next week. Dang. And all at once, you kind of know. You just kind of know. You got that pride, that pride's like, yeah, I kind of got that ball rolling, didn't I, with my testimony. And now your friend is going to live forever. Now your friend has just crossed over from death to life. That's the best way you can help a friend. You can sit there and give them secular advice all day long. It's not going to touch the heart. But the power of a testimony will touch somebody's heart, will change their life. And all we have to do is just say, yes, I will follow you, Jesus. So I started going to church all the time. I gave regularly. I was doing what God called me to do at that level of my Christianity. I was learning. I was gathering information. And then I started helping around the church, doing some odd jobs, you know, if they needed this fixed or that fixed. Or if they, me and my wife, we did the children's church every now and then. We helped move the chairs when they were having an event. You know, we did what our faith level was calling us to do. And so you need to remember that. If that's where you are in your faith, you need to say yes to all those things. When your church needs you, help your church, because the church is here to call the people, and to disciple the people. So help your church anytime. Help your church. If they need your help doing anything, say yes. Say yes. Step in. And then after that, my pastor, he was teaching a English Bible study at the local university to foreign students. And he knew that I was married to Jesse, and that we had this special relationship where two different cultures had to come together and work things out. And that can be a challenge sometimes. And we were just married. We hadn't been married too long. And he said, hey, got this Bible study and I really don't have time to teach it. Would you mind to go and teach that Bible study? Man, I haven't even read all the Bible yet. How can I do that? Anyway, I said yes. Started teaching. It was mostly Koreans and Japanese and a few African students that would come to this class. And I didn't know what I was doing, but I was teaching English, using the Bible. They were loving it. Today, there is a pastor in Japan named Shiro Nagasaki, I believe is his name. He's about 35 or 40 years old. He got saved about 20 years ago in one of those English Bible study classes. And I got a little pride about that. There's a guy in Japan. He's married and got kids now. And he's preaching the gospel every Sunday. He does live stream for his sermons. And I watch it. I'm like, yeah, man, praise the Lord. There's power in the testimony when you say yes. When you say yes to Jesus, yes, I will do that. Yes, I will go. Yes, I will serve. And so when you're trusted with a little bit, you'll be trusted with more. Where's my glasses? I got 1 minute to do 10 minutes worth of stuff here. All right. So then we got called on some mission trips in the summertime. The first trip that me and my wife and my two girls went on, my son hadn't been born yet, was to Jamaica. The thing that I learned there was joy. We went to an orphanage. There was 50 orphans. I promise you, they had more joy in their heart than we had. And we had everything that we wanted when we were at home in America. And they were on a small island out in the Atlantic, the Gulf. And they didn't have anything. They didn't even have parents. But yet they were happier. They were more filled with joy than we were. And that taught me that joy does not come from things and possessions, but that joy comes from the inside. It comes from Jesus Christ. It comes with the testimony. There's great joy in having a powerful testimony. And then after that, he sent us on a trip to Nicaragua. And there was this really spiritual thing that happened in Nicaragua whereby I know that Jesus spoke to me and said, do you want to be a fisher of men? If you will come and follow me, I'll make you a fisher of men. And I said yes to that. Didn't know what it meant. But the next thing that happened was went to a mission trip to Africa, to Kenya. And I really heard the word, the Lord speak to me there. You are a fisher of men. Because he allowed me to lead the team. It was a little short team of 10 high school students. And we did a lot of good things for the Lord. And as I was doing that, Jesus just said, you're a fisher of men, you're a fisher of men. And I wasn't really even doing anything. We had arguments and disagreements on our team. They were fighting. There was problems, you know. But Jesus said, you're a fisher of men. He trusts us even though we're not ready sometimes. Even though we're not experienced in that. He trusts us. And then after that, God calls us to Northeast Taiwan to plant churches. And now we've got three small churches over there. It's all because of Jesus. And the main church is in Fulong, in the Gong Liao area. About 35 people. 40 people show up every Sunday. And people are slowly being introduced to Jesus, empowered with and filled with the Holy Spirit, getting discipled, getting saved, getting discipled, and going out and reproducing. There is power in your testimony. And this is my testimony of my life. And I'm still learning, I'm still growing, still trying to figure out things. But it feels good to wake up in the morning and to get the text that says, Nina wants to get baptized next week. Because now you can see the influence of Jesus working through the testimony of your life. Not just your 5-minute story, but your life testimony. So I want to encourage all of you to seek after the testimony if you don't have one. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord God, I know there's many people in here who has a testimony. And they are on track with you and they are in alignment with you and you're doing great and mighty things in their life. And we're so thankful, Lord, for all the things that you're doing in some of the people's lives here. But Lord, there must be, in a crowd this big, there must be some people who want that testimony who don't have it yet. Lord, I'm praying that your Holy Spirit will touch that person today. That they will have that moment when they will just say, yes, Jesus is real. And I want to follow him. I believe Jesus. And just say yes, yes, yes to what Jesus calls you to do. And before you know it, time will go by. And you'll be able to look back on your life and say, wow, that's a testimony being lived out in real time to everyone around me. Lord God, give this to anyone who is seeking after it today, Lord. Lord, this is our prayer to give each and every one of us a powerful testimony. In Jesus' name, amen.